We at the Alamo Drafthouse would like to officially apologize for our role in the end of mankind as we know it and the ascendant genocracy that followed. We didn't know that our women-only screening of Wonder Woman would result in the overthrow of all world governments and a total subjugation of men, but in hindsight, we probably should have seen it coming. Why can't women have one night to enjoy a character that's meant so much to them over the years? Asked the shadowy figure. The women came into our offices in a cloak as black as a grave, followed by three wild-looking dogs. Her voice had no age, or every age. It was hard to tell. Sometimes it sounded like more than one woman was talking. The shadowy figure made good points about representation mattering and saved spaces as she idly flicked raw flesh to her dogs. Around her swirled plumes of sickly sweet incense from a source unknown. But this is Austin, so we figured she was just keeping it weird. How naive we were. About halfway into the film, Gal got up, put down her sword and shield, and turned to the camera. "Who has hurt you?" she asked. "Who has denied you, violated your person? Who has defiled your temple? Name them now." A woman stood up on the table in front of her, knocking over Austin Beer Works Fire Eagle IPA. "Travis!" she yelled. "Tyler!" shouted another. "Chris, Ryan, Brandon, Matt, Donald, Roman, Bill." The names fell from the women as they stood in their seats. Gal Gadot, superhumanly huge on the screen, seemed to actually hear each name with a look of utter disgust on her face. "Man's time is over," she said. "They have all done what they will do, all that they are capable of doing." And then she grabbed Chris Pine by the hair and slit his throat with a double-edged axe. Though we're pretty sure it was not in the comics, but that's Hollywood for you. "This is elaborate," she told the audience as Chris Pine sputtered and choked on his own blood. "A symbol of the women's power. It cuts away that which is false. It is a problem and a solution. Look under your seats." Each woman pulled a double-edged axe from under her seat. We don't know where they came from. We did not put them there. The Alamo Drafthouse did not arm the first Amazon Death Squad. We want to make that perfectly clear. "Goddess who is wronged by Travis, what is your name?" asked the giant Gal Gadot, covered in Chris Pine's blood. "Jessica. That name was given to you by your father. Claim your new name and be reborn as an Amazon." "Diana!" she yelled. "We are all Diana," the crowd echoed. "Go forth, Diana. Cleanse Gaia of the Tylers and the Travises. Do what must be done." Well, you all know what happened next. The Dianas all chopped off the right breast, burned down the theater, and stole a bunch of motorcycles. Everyone named Travis in the city of Austin was killed. The Dianas grew in number, emboldened by Teen Vogue think pieces. Since Last Man Standing had recently been canceled, there was no one left to challenge their total cultural takeover, and all cis men had been jailed, and they abandoned Curves Gym and Carl's Jr. across the globe. Again, we at Alamo Drafthouse regret this turn of events and the role we played in hastening the end of civilization. We were short-sighted and didn't realize that celebrating women for one night would have such dire consequences. Our bad. And once again, I cannot talk. I apologize.
Welcome to
Knotcast, episode 351.
Be gay. Do crimes. I'm Severin.
And I'm Shiva, and Fuzz is sick.
But we're still here and doing a hookah cast.
To be fair, Fuzz is always sick, but this is an actual, like, cold.
A disease. Rather than just being...
Did not kill him.
Nope.
His name is not Travis.
Where's that Labrys? Do you have one? Where is your Labrys, Shiva?
I don't know, under the couch.
Oh, okay.
Which word's
I'll make
on.
Sure to not. And that story was written by Bethy Squires. There will be a link in the show notes below.
Your name is also not Travis, so you're safe.
No, yes, and Jeremy was not listed, so I'm fine.
For now.
Anyways, Diana, how are you?
Apparently I need to go get my social security card changed.
Oh, well. In the coming genocracy, then women won't need to worry about birth control, but men will have to ask for condoms.
And of course, it'll be all their fault.
Yep. So, it has been yet another week. We are back from not a lot of adventures. It's just been kind of an off week, I guess. Like, I don't know. I don't have a ton to just be like, I want to talk about this so much.
There's so much to talk about, but...
You get tired.
You get tired, and I almost wonder if that's not the plan. If you slam people with so much bad shit, they just kind of give up because there's just one more thing after a fucking another.
Yeah.
I mean, today they decided to pull out the Paris Accords.
Yeah.
Good fucking job.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that most people are like, wow, you're a fucking idiot. And a lot of megacorps that would benefit from not actually having to stick to the climate agreements are like, no, we actually need to do this. So it's one of those things that is largely symbolic, but it's symbolic of Donald Trump continuing to be just Satan's agent on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people that are like, oh, God will sort it out, being also Satanists. Not like, but like, fear, like comedy, like, we are invoking evil, not the cool Satanists that are just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't hurt other people and do what you want.
It's which, like, I kind of agree with, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, that's all right. We're talking like cartoon villainy, not
actual Satanists.
Actual Satanists. So, it's, that's been unsurprising, but a large number of folks going, no, actually, we're going to stick to these, and other countries going, no, you can't renegotiate this. And it's been very strange, basically watching that state cede its moral authority to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're going to go be cartoon evil over here. You know, we're just like, no, fuck immigrants, fuck nature, fuck the world. We're going to do what we want in the name of short-term profit. Declaring war on anybody under 50, basically. Yeah,
pretty much. And, well, even if you're over, like, 65, you know, cutting that shit, too.
Yeah. So, if you're in the sweet spot between about 50 to 65, it's all right. But if you're younger or older, fuck you.
Well, so long as you don't need health care. I mean, healthy between 50 and 65.
Yeah.
And well off, and, you know.
Yeah, well, why can't everybody be a millionaire? Gosh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Shiva. You got four of them.
I don't wear shoes.
Oh, that's right. One of those paw-only people. Then again, you know, furry shoes would be so hard to make.
Yeah.
They'd have to be, like, bespoke. Or they'd be sandals.
Yeah, I think bespoke. Yeah, those are the toe shoes, right?
Well, bespoke is being made per individual.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there'd have to be an industry for each... you know, species and...
Or, like, just paw wraps. They just have sort of a vague shape for that fits most species, and you, like, Velcro strap around it. Like, I'm sure that there are many very smart artists out there that have made furry characters with shoes that fit their digitigrade paws.
Mm-hmm.
But that is neither here nor there. Like, I read the thing about the climate. It's like, God, you know, fucking seriously. It's so cartoonishly evil and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any fucking sense, and yet, of course, he's gonna fucking do it. So, what the come on.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of folks who are well off can afford to live in nice areas. They won't be affected by shitty, and they can just buy property in the places that they haven't fucking wrecked. You know? I mean, they don't live in a little town where they use it as a toxic dump because of... like a water reservoir full of tainted whatever has spilled, you know, broke its sides and spilled into a river. They don't live there. And if they did, they just move somewhere else.
It's like, God, well, why don't the poor people just move from Flint, Michigan? Because they can't, really.
Yeah.
Like, poverty nails you to the spot, pretty much.
And anywhere else that you can possibly live is probably just going to be as bad off.
I mean... gentrification. I mean, we could go on a full rant, I'm sure, about this if we sat down and did, like, a flow chart. Like, I don't use Facebook, right? But I actually went and intentionally liked the Democratic Socialists of America Texas page on Facebook just so that my, like, extended family would see it. Like, oh, Jeremy liked the left-wing socialists who are advocating for single payer and, like, protesting the shit out of our local government officials because fuck them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And there was a protest here in North Texas the other day where the one of our state reps was like, there's protesters in the gallery protesting about something, and he claims that he called ICE to come in and arrest the protesters and make sure that if any of them were illegal that they got kicked out. And so in counter-protest, a bunch of them brought large bags of ice and dump them on his doorstep. It's like, you want ice? Here, have your fucking ice, dumped.
It's actually kind of funny.
And it's stuff like that where you have people legit going, nah, you're not going to fucking do this. And like they basically exist to try to shift the Overton window to the left a bit. So, you know, it's like, no, you know, perhaps capitalism ain't so hot. It's not doing that well for most of us. Maybe we should look at other options. And, you know, it's weird to kind of have your perspective shift so much, but it's like, yeah, you know, when unbridled capitalism is like a death sentence for your entire family, like direct family, mm-hmm. maybe you should think of other ways, because, you know, eating the rich only lasts so long, because, you know, they have a lot of meat, but it's poor quality.
Yeah, it's too fatty.
You know.
And full of bullshit, honestly.
It's one of those things like, you know, my family all have quote-unquote pre-existing conditions that could cost them dearly.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents and my sister.
And me.
And so it's just like, you know, maybe this isn't so hot.
Yeah, I'm on the chopping block if any of that shit goes through. I'm a fucking diabetic.
Yeah.
And of course, it's my fault that, you know, because I, what was it? The healthy thing where they eat bad food and they do nothing but blah, blah, blah. It's like, motherfucker, I started going down with this when I was 16. Because it was around 16 where shit started going sideways for me, where I started gaining weird weight, da, 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 da. And, you know, I was, when they figured out I was diabetic, I was 27. And I wasn't just mildly diabetic. I was full blown. And I had been diabetic for years that I didn't know about. Which means that the starting symptoms of this started in my teens.
Yeah.
I had no fucking control over that.
My mom had her first heart attack in her 20s. And so it's just like, yeah, you know, she's medically retired because of it. She can't work. She, you know, she makes jewelry and shit with her hands, but she can't work like an actual thing because her health's not there. And, you know, I guarantee you that if her legacy insurance could drop her, they would. Because she's got so many health issues. So maybe we should try single payer. I think that's a good idea. Let's stop bombing brown people and instead invest in America. How about that?
Yeah, I saw a really good rant the other day. Some guy just basically stood up in one of those town halls and said, you know, my wife had cancer. And, you know, she got by it. But every day, every weird pain, she's scared that the cancer's coming back. It hasn't yet, but she's scared out of her mind. And now we're facing all this coming down where we might lose our coverage because she had cancer at one point in her life. And this guy basically stood up and his thing about, you know, basically the insurance companies don't have a care about us. And his point about single payer and government run is like, you know, it's not ideal. But the thing is about this is that we may not be able to yell at the insurance companies, but when it comes to single payer, it's got one upside. It's got fucking votes. So if shit goes sideways, we can actually all stand up and yell at and change our representation to affect things. We can't do diddly shit against Aetna or Blue Cross Blue Shield or because we have to opt in. We have to have insurance at this point in time. With the way the medical system is, we're fucked.
Yeah.
But at least if we do something government-based, blah, 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 the what we can do is actually, you know, vote people in and out of office to affect this, you know.
And with single payer, yeah, you have to wait a while for stuff that's not essential. But if you need a
cancer,
if you have cancer, if you have like a sudden medical emergency, you're not going to find yourself bankrupt.
You know, might like, have to wait for knee replacements.
Look at the fucking the dude that survived the stabbing in Portland having to crowdfund money.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
This motherfucker gets nearly murdered by a crazy person and a right-wing terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And basically has to crowdfund his medical care. You know, it's fucking sick and it needs to change because, seriously, there's no good way this is going to end if the income inequality continues to get worse. There's not going to be a good end for this.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen within our lifetimes. Like,
well, better.
There's just, it has to change and get involved. And it's like, don't get mad at the other poor person for getting something you don't. Ask why you aren't getting, it's like, why aren't you getting benefits? Ask that. Don't be mad that someone else is getting health care and benefits from their job. and why you're not. Don't be mad at them. Be mad at your employer. You know, do better for your fellow workers.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, comrades. Fucking do it. This is your, hey, by the way, Notcast is run by a bunch of leftists. Hope you don't mind. Just wait.
It's basically the medical system got out of fucking control. It got so that you're now fucking reliant on goddamn insurance to be able to afford basic shit. So now we're beholden to having to have insurance to be able to, well, in my case, be able to fucking survive getting an infection in your leg. I mean, my medical bills for that alone has come up to about $48,000.
Whew!
You know, and I don't know yet how much of that is going to get covered by my insurance and how much of that I'm going to have to fucking fight with my insurance company to actually get them to fucking cover. That much money for 5 days in the hospital for a random goddamn leg infection.
So,
I mean, imagine if I didn't have insurance.
So, for me, when I had my gallbladder issue, I had my gallbladder removed, my insurance company initially did not want to cover a $5,000 charge that had, like, popped up. And then they give you, like, after the fact, they kind of gave me the notification that, yeah, we decided to not give you another $5,000 bill. We ended up covering it on appeal. And I hadn't known about this, but, like, my gallbladder, that was $7,200.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that we had to pay out of pocket. It's like, holy shit, guys. Like, this could have fucking killed me. And the actual cost to insurance was much higher, but, like, if I didn't have insurance, I would have probably had to fucking wait until that thing went gangrenous and tried to kill me before I could have gotten it out, or gone to the ER and had emergency surgery and had a $50,000 bill over my head.
Yes, someone said, I think they were down in Arizona. They were actually a doctor. And they were seeing, there was something Arizona put through where they ended up, it restricted a lot more access to things like healthcare. So instead of people getting maintenance and doing all the stuff that would keep them out of the hospital, they had to wait. And they waited and waited until they got on, like, fucking death's door before they got it treated. And now
ends up costing a lot more.
Yeah, because now they're not doing all the maintenance of whatever disease it is. Yeah, you know, like diabetes. I'm on medication every day. If I didn't have this, then I would, you know, get really sick over time. You know, I'd start having serious complications. I mean, basically diabetes is if your blood sugar is too high, it starts eroding things like blood vessels and blood vessels in your eyes and in your feet. And it starts causing nerve damage, and it will make you go blind. It will damage internal organs. It'll damage especially things in your limbs, especially feet and hands, so that you step on something and you don't feel that you've got a...
And wounds don't heal.
But so if I'm on the medication, over time, things will erode. Instead of being able to take a couple pills twice a day, eating right and everything else, even if I ate right, over time I would be fucked. So then down the time I would be looking at major surgery to either try and correct infections. I would go blind. I may lose limbs because of an infection, at which point you start looking at major surgery instead of just a couple pills twice a day.
Yeah.
So that's what other people would be seeing.
Or you look at other diabetics like Bob, right? He didn't do anything.
He was in a car wreck.
And it shredded his pancreas.
Yeah.
Like, he's not some, even if you make awful bad choices, that still shouldn't condemn you to die. Like...
Or lose a foot.
Yeah, that's... Have some fucking empathy. It's like, yeah, you can totally be a fat piece of shit. But if you try to get it fixed, you shouldn't have to fucking suffer for it. Like, look at me, guys. I was over 400 pounds 4 years ago, and I got my shit together, and I had weight loss surgery, and my insurance covered it. That was $120,000 that we ended up not having to pay a good chunk of it. But, like, this was my insurance company doing the cold realization that, yeah, maybe if we do this guy's weight loss surgery, it may cost us $120,000 now, but it will save us money in the long run. And the fact that me having life-changing, life-saving surgery was down to the fucking math of, will this cost us more now or cost more in the long term? Like, that's fucked, really. So, yeah. Healthcare needs to be a fucking human right. And it turns out that it kind of is. And the fact that so many people have to beg for money, that GoFundMe is like the nation's best provider of money for fucking medical costs, is sick.
Yeah, it is.
So, there's that. That has been our Jesus Christ, our current system is awful and needs to change 20 minutes.
Because, you know, we all fucking care about this.
Yeah, I mean, it affects so many people. And
I mean, from getting hit, I mean, even if you're young and in good health, you could get hit by a car.
Yeah.
You could fall downstairs. You know, you could, you know, even if it's a broken leg, I mean, but if you fall and smack your head and need to get, you know.
You have a concussion. You go to the hospital because concussions are serious fucking business, you know.
There's so many shit that can happen that has nothing to do with your behavioral anything, and then you're fucked because of it.
Yeah. So, I think that about covers that topic.
We've beaten that horse to death.
But, again. another news, a bizarre study claims that chicken nuggets make you gay. So, how many nuggets did you eat? Because you didn't eat enough to go full gay. And I guess I didn't either.
You didn't have your threshold.
I didn't quite hit the threshold, so I only turned half gay.
So, I don't know. There's got to be a ratio of chicken nugget consumption to gayness?
Yeah, it's this bizarre-ass, like, self-published study, and I say study with quotation fingers, that because of, like, hormones in chicken, it turned people gay. Because a correlation of chicken nugget consumption to higher prevalence of public admittance of non-straight sexuality. So, I want you guys to know that you ate too many chicken nuggets as a kid.
And that's why you're gay.
Yep.
They found the answer as to why people are gay.
Yep.
Chicken nuggets and chicken hormones.
Yep. We just figured we'd let you guys know because that's important. And as such, hey, go get a 20 nug pack and just go for it, you know?
So would that would be kind of, so say that was proven true. Wouldn't that make all the anti-gay people now turn into a natural foodie, you know, like advocacy? Like, oh, no, stop tampering with their food. You're making people fucking gay.
It's like, oh no, we must eat healthy because our children's will be gay. We have to, like, have all natural, like, farm-raised, free-range chickens and shit. And factory farming is bad, actually. Oh no, wait.
Isn't that counter to a lot of our, like, free economy? Oh, wait.
But gays! Watch out for the gays! So, also, I saw a really funny shirt at Walmart the other night.
Oh, God.
So, I'm still vaguely hunting for a Nintendo Switch. And I've just, you know, wander in. Do they have one? No, wander off. It's generally like if I have time to going between point A to B. And I'm basically giving it up because, really, kind of fuck Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know why they're having such supply chain issues, because it turns out when you use make a little handheld console that uses parts that are super common in smartphones, you end up fighting with Samsung and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the reason that Nintendo can't make enough is because they can't get enough of the fucking parts made because
Samsung,
mm-hmm. basically. And so, yeah, I've not been able to find a Switch. I've only ever seen two on a shelf, and I couldn't have bought it at the time. Right? It was not prudent to have done so. And
eventually, supply will catch up with demand.
Basically, I may get one when they do a hardware refresh and do, like, the Nintendo Switch XL. But
is that when you're holding, like, a 32-inch TV as a handheld screen?
It's just, like, an iPad-sized thing. Then it's just, like, the in-pad. But I was wandering back through the store from the disappointment zone, and there was a shirt that was like, not from Texas? Well, bless your heart. I'm like, fucking rude. So if anybody's from the South, they know that bless your heart, when said sarcastically, is basically a polite way of going, go fuck yourself. or you're a fucking moron. It is Southern polite, fuck you. I thought that was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you wear that shirt and people will get offended.
Well,
and you won't know why. Or people will look at it and it'll be all passive-aggressive about it.
Or else it'll be only folks who've lived down here long enough have run into the bless your heart equivalent to fuck you will understand that. And Texas will think it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. You know, haha, Texas pride, woo! Well, speaking of pride, it is June, Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, be gay, do crimes. I've just seen that pop up as much. It's a Night in the Woods reference, I guess, but it's popped up in a number of places. And, but yeah, June's Pride Month, a lot of Pride celebrations going on this month, though not in Texas, because we do ours in, like, August.
It's September. But it's still fucking hot as balls.
But not as hot.
I wish we'd do it in, like, April. April's rainy but beautiful.
Yeah.
You can actually be outside and not get heat stroke in April.
But we don't get our Pride stuff here. And I'm kind of disappointed, too, that Target and a lot of their West and East Coast stores do Pride stuff for Pride Month.
Not in Texas.
Not in Texas! I've been to a bunch of different Targets, and they don't have any of that shit here. It's disappointing, but not surprising.
No.
They got, like, American flag bullshit.
Well, it's 4th of July.
Yeah, well, Memorial Day and 4th of July coming up. But it's like, yeah, they got all these other places that have, like, you can get yourself little flag pins and pronoun buttons and all this other stuff. And it's like, oh, that's fucking cool. I mean, yes, it is the commodification of, like, Pride stuff by a corporate entity. But hey, it's representation, kind of. We will take our small victories where they lie.
They see that it's actually something that they can merchandise now and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, it's various, you know, gay and bi and pan and trans flag stuff. And it's like, yes, it is made by, you know, a major corporation and possibly made in China. It's like, yeah, but.
But.
You know, you can only do so much. It's like, if you really want to get an artisanal, handmade, local artisan button.
Go to Etsy.
You can go to Etsy, yeah. But you won't find it on the shelves of Target, unfortunately. So it's one of those. It's the growing acceptance of non-straights that is. It is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, actually.
It is.
And I'm glad that they have them, at
Meanwhile,
least.
We have the bathroom bill being pushed here.
Yeah. Fucking Texas. So, apparently, I don't know if it passed or not. I know they did one that affects schools, but one that overrides local stuff, I don't know if it did anything or not. And that's actually something that concerns me for Nightmare Nights, right? Is basically if the state tries to do this and anybody gives any of my trans attendees shit, I'm going to be throwing those people the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
You will not fuck with my trans attendees. There's not a lot of them, but I value them higher than some asshole who's going to give them shit.
Yeah.
So, just so you fucking know. I don't, like, I have people that are concerned about coming to the con because Texas and its bad reputation. Like, it worked out so fucking well for North Carolina or whatever, but Texas is like, well, fuck it, we hate the queers that much that we're gonna shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to NFL and NCAA and all that bullshit and major events going, yeah, maybe we won't hold it in Texas. You know, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
In good news, Wonder Woman's apparently pretty good.
Speaking of which, I need to go buy tickets someday. Go talk to the guys and find out, you know, when we want to do that. Maybe Sunday after I get off work, we'll go out and catch a late showing or something.
I'm going to try to go see an early showing tomorrow, which is to say probably the same day that y'all are going to hear this. Mm-hmm. I've been looking forward to, like, it looked really good, it's colorful, and the trailer make it look really cool. It's a World War I setting, so it's not the usual all Nazis. And I think that, you know, Wonder Woman is a pretty cool character.
And I do like Chris Pine as an actor.
And so I wanted it to be good. Like, I've wanted the DC films to be good. They can make alright TV shows. They make alright video games. And Justice 2 is pretty fucking cool.
And dude, they do killer cartoons.
And killer cartoons.
Like, absolutely blow the doors off of Marvel's cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
There are some good... I think they have, like, direct-to-video or something. Marvel cartoons that are really good. But you can generally... If DC makes a cartoon, my default... faith is that it's going to be good until proven otherwise. Marvel...
Yeah, Marvel doesn't really have much in the way of ongoing. But, you know, you look at, like, well, like Young Justice getting a revival, and you look at Justice League of America, or the old Batman and Superman cartoons, and, like, I mean, and Teen Titans. Not so much Teen Titans Go, as far as I know.
Though they do take the piss and they there's nods to the old show.
Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, DC's cartoons have been really good, and this is the first DC movie that's gotten good reviews. Like, it's got, like, 92 on Rotten Tomatoes last I looked today.
I mean, I didn't mind the Superman films, and I thought the Batman films were good, too. Batman versus Superman, ugh.
Yeah, well, the Nolan Batman films are really good, but that's Nolanverse, and that's, like, its own thing. It doesn't tie in to the current, you know, DC cinematic universe. The DCCU...
Let's see, other things. So, need to buy tickets for that. And what's the next one coming out? This is like a summer of really well-anticipated movies.
I still haven't seen the Guardians 2.
That's good. It really is good. Should go to a double feature.
Yeah, well, if they're both showing still. But yeah, I made a tweet. It's like that, oh, look at that. It had a 96 with... 54 reviews.
It's going well on Rotten Tomatoes last I looked.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it's just, people are like, yeah, it's a 7 out of 10, whatever. But that's still way better than most other DC movies.
Yeah.
And probably higher than a lot of Marvel stuff, too. It's like, yeah, people are a bit biased against DC because they've got a round of stinker, so they may be grading on a curve, but you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna go see it, and I haven't seen any of the other DCEU movies. And, like, I didn't see Suicide Squad, and I didn't see a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't see a lot of movies, but I'm going to go out of my way and go see this.
Yeah, I mean, I really like movies, so I tend to go see a lot of the, like, action-y blockbuster stuff. So I had a really interesting turn of events. So I started at my... I got laid off in October. Picked up a new job in December for... I got hired on as a contractor, which... That basically translates into low benefits, you're working on a product, but you can get cut at any time type stuff that it's kind of like an upgraded temp, but not really. And I managed to snag a position. It was better than most contractors, but still a contractor, still not a comfortable situation. And right after I started at this big tech company, a headhunter contacted me. It was like a week after. And I was like, no. You know, I just started here. I don't want to jump ship yet. Contact me and I don't know. You know, keep in touch. I'm kind of interested, but let me play this out. Well, the guy kept contacting me once or twice a month with basically, hey, are you still liking it there? Well, I've been with this tech company for about 6 months now. And I was still pretty happy there. And I love the campus. I love my team. It's a great environment. But I'm not a full-time employee. And the outsourcing company that I work for is kind of bullshit. So it ended up, we had our usual conversation of, I'm still pretty happy here, blah, blah, blah. Except I made the mistake of following up with, the only thing I consider is if you had something permanent, like full-time employee, you're actually working for the company you're doing the work for. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, that's what I was contacting you about. I have this. And it was basically to be a senior lead position. And he's like, huh, how much? And he named a figure that was a lot more than I'm making now. It was enough to make me seriously, well, send me over the specs for the job. He sent me over the specs for my job, and it was right up my alley, and some lead stuff on top of all that. And I was like, oh, well, what the heck? I love where I'm at now, but that money, and this is a lot more challenging and more in tune with where I want to go. what the hell? I'll give it a spin. So I met with the recruiter, and, you know, we went over the position again. I said, sure. So tuned up my resume. They shipped it over to the new company. Got a phone interview. Okay, got through the phone interview. Guy already tells me at the end of the phone interview, this sounds good. I'll talk to your recruiter and set up an in-person interview. Oh, okay. So I'm going through, I go to the place and I meet with not only the hiring manager, I meet with three of the people who would be either peers or on my team that I met with another tier of like development leads over other sections of it. Then I met with the VP of the job. And so go through all that. And on my way out, I'm walking out of the building and they're giving me like the grand tour of the office. And well, here's the kitchen and here's where this team sits and there's where that team sits. And I'm kind of scanning around because in Dallas IT, it is not uncommon to run into somebody you know from a prior job. And so I was looking to see if there's anybody I could see that I could point out of, oh, I used to work with him. He can vouch for me. We're almost done. We're in like the last lap of the office and I'm seeing a guy walk towards me. And yeah, and I was like, he looks familiar. Is that who I think it is? And they're walking closer. Yeah, it is. What it is it's back in 2010, we were guest of honor at Oklacon. And this is one of the leads for Oklacon that I met back then. And I start doing the head tilt and the point. And he finally, when you're wandering through the office, you're not exactly staring around you. And he finally looks up and you get that dawn of recognition. And then the smile comes up. It's like, you, what are you doing here? I'm interviewing for a job. So this is where you end up. And he's like, yeah, cool. And I turned to the hiring manager. He can vouch for me. He knows, blah, 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 blah. If you want someone who can, like, internally reference, talk to him. We finish up the tour, and I get out to the parking lot, and I telegram him. And it's like, my real name is XYZ, in case you don't remember. And he goes, gives his vouch to my hiring manager and all this other stuff. And there was kind of noises made that I wasn't quite what they were looking for the lead position, but they were looking for, they really like me, and they wanted to find a way to bring me on anyways. So it's Memorial Day weekend. I don't hear anything. I'm not expecting to hear anything from Tuesday. Tuesday morning, the recruiter calls me. He says they want to make an offer. And they're thinking, and he names a number that's slightly higher than what I'm making now. I'm like, that's pretty good, but I want to see the formal offer. Well, later on that afternoon, the formal offer letter comes in, and it's much better than what he even told me, the recruiter. As like, well, I guess my time at tech company is done, and it looks like I'll be starting a new job in like 2 weeks. So, and it's a serious pay bump, and it's a lot more. What I was supporting at the tech company didn't really have anything to bring forward in like, how to put it, it doesn't build my skills at all. It's very basic shit. Whereas this is something that when I put on a resume is going to keep me going down the track. On the other hand, I can put tech company on my resume now, and it looks really good because it's a well-known name. And now, yeah, now I've got this. So I'm hoping that this job will work out really well. Plus, I get to work with the gentleman from Oklacon, who I like very much. So that's huge, and I'm kind of scared because I'm hoping I can actually put my money where my mouth is and I don't fuck it up. But it's looking really promising. So that's good, and it will help with the aforementioned medical bills, which are still coming. So that's my big news. So yeah, sometimes recruiters and headhunters aren't evil. Sometimes they actually do good shit for you.
Sounds like they helped you a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes they're annoying. This guy didn't always ask the most, how to put it, he's been frustrating in his own way to deal with. Mostly because he expects me to drop everything and do stuff in the middle of my, you know, tech company work day. And I'm like, dude, I'm at work. I don't have access to a printer or scanner to do jack and shit until I get home. You're going to have to wait. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to fuck up my current gig for this. Thank you.
No.
You just don't do that. Doesn't matter how much good shit is coming down the pipe. Don't burn bridges.
Yeah.
Don't ever burn bridges.
It's like, try to... Remember, it goes back to our earlier rant that you have to have a job to have insurance or else you'll fucking die. And that's fucked up. A random cool note, random fun thing. Artist I know, if you're into macro, he has made the first, probably not the first, but the first I have seen, Daki Pakura, which is a horrible mutilation of the word. So the artist Brayburned, who was well known for his exquisite gay horses and fun gay comics.
Oh, I didn't know it was Bray that was doing this.
Yeah. Has put forth a clean Dakimakura that is a macro werewolf on one side, and the other side is just a giant fucking paw.
You can cuddle up to your
foot. You can cuddle up to its foot, or you can hold it over your face and drop it on you and pretend you're being stomped on by a macro werewolf. So I'll include a link to that, because I think it's available for pre-purchase now. I saw that and was like, that's funny. You should totally... And he did.
That's great.
That's cute, and that's fun. So it's like, oh, here's this horrible thing we're discussing, and then, hey, here's something cute. And here's this horrible thing we're discussing, and here's something cute.
I mean, you gotta
balance it out, right?
Yeah.
Also, I gotta say, whoever designed the blacksmithing in WoW, in Legion right now...
Why?
So, I wrapped up the blacksmithing profession quest on a character today.
Uh-huh.
And... The bullshit you have to do to get the top level crafting is just nuts. Like, you have to do... It's not a ton of dungeons, but you do have to go do at least one dungeon for the profession. And then the top tier stuff is Demon Steel. So it's Fell Slate and Laystone, and you can only craft it at the Ironhorn Enclave on the top of fucking High Mountain. Only at that stone can you make it, and you can only make, I don't know if you can only make the gear there, but you can only make the bars there. And remember back at the beginning when you needed, like, Demon Steel arm guards to unlock the Obliterum Forge?
Mm-hmm.
Those motherfuckers cost 55 bars. So that is to say, 55 Fell Slate and 100 Laystone, 110 Laystone, then you need other bullshit, too. Like, leather and blood of Sargeras.
Yeah.
Sargeras.
I still haven't done the top tier for the final thing for leatherworking. Have you heard what you have to do for that?
No.
There's apparently a moose.
Oh, yeah. You have to do this bullshit.
You have to basically, I think, ride this moose all through one of the zones. And there's one particular time where it jumps off and drops you off a cliff. And the best way to get past this is basically to have a friend to heal your ass. After the first, because you hit like two ledges on the way down.
Yeah, it's jumping off a high mountain.
So you need to like have a friend halfway down that'll pop a heal on you so that by the time you hit the ground, you have enough health to survive.
Because otherwise it escapes.
Yeah. It's like, holy shit, I haven't done that yet. And I'm kind of worried because if you don't have any fall damage protection like Pandarens or Rogues or whatever else, you know, good luck to you.
The goofy bit about it too is also like, okay... The arm plates cost 55 bars at rank 1, and then after you do the first one, you get the rank 2 immediately.
Thank God.
Which lowers the cost down, but it's still, like, okay, it's 60 for the chest plate.
Jesus.
Pants, shoulder, belt, and boots? 8.
What?
Like, they were like, okay, these two pieces are going to be nightmares, and this one that you absolutely had to have prior to the most recent patch... costs you 110 Laystone and 50 fucking Fell Slate and this, that, and the other. So they were ridiculously expensive. And now it's just like, oh, whatever. I made a full set today just so I get rank 2 on everything. Except I don't have the helmet because I need fucking the rare quality orange stones.
Mm-hmm.
Which are 2,500 gold a piece. And I need 5 of them just to buy the fucking recipe.
Holy shit.
And there was only 2 on the AH. I'm going to ask Tyrion if he has any. But it's one of those things where, holy shit, who did the balance pass on this? We're just going to make these two items ridiculously expensive to make. And then everything else just, what the fuck ever. It's like, Demon Steel and some fucking teeth and this, that, and the other. 8 bars and you can get these. I mean, the look is really cool. It's the white plate mail, the white shiny plate mail that the demons are wearing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the look. And, like, I normally make a full set of shit, so I'll have the appearance, but I'm like, it's so fucking expensive that I've been kind of delaying it.
I guess I'm going to have to do that just so I can get the... God damn it. Oh, well.
I mean, I did it in, like, a day, and because I have 9 1-10s, everybody's got a bunch of surplus bloods. Because a lot of my guys are double gatherer.
I've been burning my bloods to keep myself in resources.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, like, I have the time available to play and can do late night gaming and shit. Whereas, like, most normal people, I don't know how they do it. But, whatever. Hey, I can make white plate mail. It's really cool and shiny. It's the same model that you get everywhere, but it's white.
I don't even know what the leather working or the clothy looks like.
Yeah, I haven't done the cloth, the whatever, the top tier stuff, because it's like, you have to have all this arcana, and you gotta have all this cloth, and yada yada. It's the imbued, whatever it is, yeah.
I mean,
professions and legions is bad, basically.
Yeah, they went too far the other way.
They were really bad in Warlords as well, and it's still time-gated, so... if you want to make a single piece of the 640 gear, it still takes you 5 days.
Jesus.
If you want to make a 30 slot bag, 5 days. Unless you want to burn a lot more resources on, like, profession building. So
what was the bag size for Warlords? Wasn't it 28?
No, it was 30. The Hexweave bag is 30. And the one that you can make in Legion is 24 slots, but costs 90 cloth.
Why would you even fucking do that?
Because you have so much shit in your bank, you're just like, I need the space.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you can get rid of all your transmog shit, you still need bag space because there's a million fucking things to pick up.
Well, in Warlords, I just put my clothy in the garrison and let her... I made enough bags, even with the... Because you get... In Warlords, you can only get the cloth by basically either burning stuff or going through the little building and the garrison. But I had enough, so I burned through, and I made enough bags for all of my alts. I made it on both servers because they're a joint server. I made enough for all of Sarah's alts. And I've got, like, a stash of enough to... completely outfit, like, 3 more alts if anybody ever wanted to do it. I'm swimming in now larger slot bags, and then the ones that they made in Legion were smaller? Mm-hmm. That's silly.
And there's not any, like, higher tier bag you can make. Sucks.
I swear, I mean, they added the toy box, they added a bunch of stuff for Legion, and I'm still out of fucking, I'm running close on bag space. So, yeah, I don't know.
I frequently have to, like, shuttle all of one thing onto character with that primary profession.
Mm-hmm.
So, my rogue, who's still 100, has 1,500 leather, 2,000 teeth, 2,000 claws. And I'm like, you don't need that fucking mini. But she's just, like, the dumping ground. Her rage and bank is mostly full of just bullshit from this expansion.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
We have an abusive relationship with WoW.
We do. Love and hate.
It's like, I don't want to give you money, but so I'm not. I'm paying with gold, but still.
I went back to subbing just for when they put out the tokens where you could spend gold and spend it on other games. I just went back to subbing.
So did you hear what Tyrion did?
No.
So Tyrion has been playing the Age for the longest time and had, like, 1 million gold.
Uh-huh.
So he just... Right, he had way more than 1 million gold. He basically bought out as many tokens as he could at, like, 4 a.m. when the prices fluctuate low. And then he converted it all to Battle.net balance, and he's like, I went from having a shitload of gold to $150 Battle.net balance.
Hey, why not?
Well, because, like, when it first came out and things were cheap as shit, it was like $35,000. He bought 5 years worth of game time.
Why not?
He doesn't have to pay for WoW.
For forever.
Until the game shuts down, basically. So, all the gold he's making now, he just converts to Battle.net balance. And he's buying, like, loot boxes in Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm, I guess.
I should see what I can do with that. Yeah, I don't really like what they've done with Heroes, but I do, but I don't. I mean...
Yeah, I don't dig Heroes that much. But when I they did the get your free 20 characters, I totally took it and got... So now, like, I have over half the roster available now.
Yeah, I mean, and I like buying some of the fancier skins.
Well, and, like, when I got the boxes, because I played and put in a little money back in 1.0, which is basically pre-loot boxes, I got a bunch of the... I got 10 regular loot boxes and 5 of the elite boxes and end up with, like, 3 more characters I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and bought the Samus skin for Morales, the medic. So I was like, okay, well, that's cool. And then I didn't... And by bought, I mean, like, the currency that you got from these things. And then I just kind of put it back down. Like, I don't like MOBAs. And I haven't really played a lot of Overwatch.
I like Heroes. Problems with Overwatch is I love the whole universe, but the game makes me feel kind of queasy. I get kind of seasick almost playing it.
I'm told
it's like the motion blur that does it to people. I haven't tried it by turning it off yet. I'm not a big first person anyways, but I love the universe, though.
The universe is great.
I love the fucking universe.
Remember, a colony of evil gorillas lives on the moon.
I mean, I'll buy Overwatch stuff because I love the universe. Like, I'll buy figurines and all this other stuff because I like all...
I want a Pharah figurine with her in the Black Jackal armor. She is so fucking cool.
Yeah, I love all their short stories, I love their comics, I love the world, the game itself is kind of...
My aesthetic, strong women in power armor.
I love Tracer. I like a lot of their characters.
She's not Calvary's queer.
I love the fact that they made her a goddamn lesbian. Like, their flagship character is a fucking lesbian, and that's so awesome. Because, I don't know...
Representation matters.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Because, holy shit, there's a lead character that's like me, and I can identify them. It's not just that she was cool anyways, and that was like, if you don't find something where you feel outcast, and it's like something that you're, you get a lot of flack for, and then there's something like you, it's like, it's like seeing a gay character in, like, a major show that's, you know, is actually someone you really like. And it's like, cool, you know. It's hard to explain if you don't have anything like that. So, representation is a hard thing to explain if you don't have a lack of it, if that makes sense.
Also, leading authority on cool shit, Pixel Kitty declares that Wonder Woman is fucking great. So, there we go. It's like, there are very few people that I will go to bat for 110% in the pony fandom, and she is one of them. I love her to death. Don't fucking talk shit about my waifu, bitches. So.
Pixel's cool.
Yeah. That about wraps up our, like, hey, listen to us ramble for a bit. We're going to stop and save real quick, and then we have a few emails. How exciting is that? And we're back. That was actually a fairly decent break. We are still sitting here on Shiva's couch smoking hookah. It's very nice. And it's been a very nice, relaxed recording session. So, we have a few emails this week. You can always send us messages at notcast@foxduffers.com. You can send us anonymous Tumblr asks at notcast.tumblr.com. And we have a couple of those right here. So, the first one is just a quote. Anonymous asked a question, and probably in response to our Kantian justification of punching Nazis, is, he who fights monsters should see to it that he himself does not become a monster. And if you gaze too long into the abyss gazes also into you. Friedrich Nietzsche.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. I'm sure that in my mangling of the English language, well, it's German, but, you know, yeah, you should totally make sure that you're, like, by punching Nazis, you two do not become a Nazi, but that's also kind of hard. They're not the fucking Borg. It's not like contact with a Nazi assimilates you. So, you know, I'm going to continue to be a big old libby-lib-libby-lib-lib.
Mm-hmm. Liberal.
Yep. So, this next one's long.
You take it. It's okay. Safer that way.
This one is anonymous. Hi, Notcast. Fairly new listener here with a plea for advice. I've been dating my boyfriend for over 4 years now, and while we've had our ups and downs, we've come out on top and are closer and more trusting to each other than ever before. However, one thing that's been stuck in my mind for many months now is our future. A year after we got together, his father passed away, so we moved in with his mother to help with bills, do things around the house, etc. Meanwhile, my own family a few hours away had its own share of problems. My little brother and sister have sworn off my mother and left her feeling depressed, while my grandparents are getting older, and my grandfather in particular likely doesn't have many years left in him. I've bought up the idea of moving sort of in between our two families so we can help them both out and be with them, but my partner doesn't seem interested in anything but living with his mother. This is partly because his line of work ties him to the area she lives in, and partly because this is his home, which I completely understand. Moving away, even just a little, would be a very big change for him. However, this leaves me feeling a bit ashamed because I can't be with my own family and help them where needed. I've also brought up the idea of dating long distance for at least a little while we did at the start of our relationship, but he's made it clear that he would rather not date at all than do that. I'm just not sure how to go about this. I absolutely love my boyfriend and his mother, and I want to stay with them, but I also love my family, and I feel like I can't just leave them in the dust. I've been trying to put this decision off for some time now, but it feels like soon I'll have to make a choice, and I'm just a bit torn on it. Any general advice or anything would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
So, I kind of know what that's like. I'm in Texas. I'm tied to Texas now because of work. I bought a house. But all of my family is out in Virginia now. My dad lives in Virginia, and a couple of years ago, my sister moved from California to Virginia, and she lives literally, I think it's like 3 miles from my dad. So they're all very far away, and at least I now know my dad has my sister and her family to fall back on. But my stepmother has an extended family out there, and I often feel excluded because they can get together for big weekends with a little bit of time arrangement and be able to do fun things. Like, we're on WhatsApp, and so there's a big family group where everybody talks, and they're talking about getting together for a big 4th of July hoot and holler. It's like, I'd really like to go to that, but I'm in fucking Texas. So, you know, I'm kind of screwed. And it's hard. It is really hard, especially like when my dad got sick and I was far away. So I know your pain there. I know it very much. And I don't know how... It's a hard decision. It really is hard.
So in my personal experience, so both Panther and I live about 40 miles away from our respective families. They both live in Fort Worth while we live in Dallas. And we both go to fairly big lengths to help our families out. We have our own place, but we will both find ourselves out in Fort Worth visiting family or helping them at craft shows. Obviously, I end up helping my family at craft shows, and Panther does not, but he still goes out to see his family from time to time. And it is one of those things that your boyfriend may need to know that you will go and help your family out as well. And yeah, it might be a pain in the ass, and you might have to go for a couple days, but... Like, for me, when my dad had neck surgery here last year, there were several weekends in a row where I was not at home on the weekends because I was out helping my family do a show because my dad couldn't lift anything. And my mom can't lift much, so I was the muscles. And I think you need to make it clear to your boyfriend that you still want to be together, but you're going to have to make efforts to help your family out too. And if moving to a spot in the middle isn't going to work, is it still viable for you to make the travel to go see your family and assist them with things on weekends or whatever? Because, you know, family is important, and if they're accepting of you, that's good, that should be valued. And, like, this isn't like, oh, break up with them. Don't do that. But it's one of those things where you need to make clear that your family also is important to you and that you want to help them out with their issues.
I mean, it might be a matter of, okay, this is the issue. We've been helping your mom for, I don't know how long it's been. We need to be able to support my family too. If you need to help me make, you need to help me come up with a solution here. We've got a problem. And if the solutions I've suggested don't work for you, you need to help me come up with an answer and compromise.
Because helping out your family is important to both of you and is not something that you need to, like, compromise by not helping your family with. So you're going to have to come up with something that you can agree on. And like Shiva said, like, Shiva has it right. You need to basically say, you need to help me find a solution that'll help us both, because you don't want to do long distance. You don't want to move out of your house. But we have to have something that doesn't leave my family hanging while we're living at your mom's place helping her out. Like, I totally understand the necessity of helping your family from time to time. I do a lot. And it's just one of those things where you need to have a sit-down talk with your boyfriend and come to a solution, because something has to change that will allow you to help your family just as he has helped his.
Turnabout is fair play. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So, if he doesn't like your solutions, make him come up with some ideas. Because the status quo is not very quo. You know, it needs to swing both ways. It sucks. It does. But, you know, trust me, I know what you're going through, and it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, I had that situation with my car nightmare that's still ongoing, but goes into the shop to be repaired for realsies the 6th. So by the time we record this next time, actually, will we? Yeah, we'll record next week, because that'll be on Thursday, and Akon is on Friday.
Oh shit, it's Akon weekend, isn't it?
Next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, but still, Akon weekend it's coming.
Yep. Which is why if certain things go together, I will have some major bombshells to drop. Ew. But good ones, good ones. Good bombs. Happy bombs. Confetti bombs. There we go.
Well, those are... Well, confetti's better than glitter bombs.
Yeah. Glitter is when you hate people.
Yes.
But anyways, I may have some cool, exciting news that's going to make a big splash at Akon. Relating to my convention. But yeah, just not having a functional vehicle and family needing assistance, and I'm just like, I can't help you, my car is not safe to drive on the freeway, That sucks. So,
could you guys swap cars for a day so that he drives your little guy so
I've borrowed Panther's car from time to time. He's not terribly fond of it, because that's his car.
Yeah.
And also leaves him without a vehicle for a while, and he's like, but what if I want to go to the store? And I'm like, you don't go to the store. But whatever.
Well, couldn't he just use yours to go to the store? Yeah. I mean, it's like a mile away.
It's Panther, okay?
That pretty much says it all, doesn't
it? It's Panther. Love him, but it's Panther.
It's Panther.
All right, so we have one more email here. This one you can take, Shiva.
It's not very long. Hold on, let me switch back to it.
Because it's like three quick questions.
Let's see. Dear Notcast, how do you tell someone you're a furry? Do you just tell them, I'm a furry, or tell them some other way to make them not like you, or what do you do? Also, do you know exactly what happened at the Rocky Mountain FurCon to get it canceled? Love, no. So, I don't know. We've covered this before. How do you tell someone you're a furry?
It's like, well, how does it come up? Is it like, yo, so what do you like? Well, I'm a fan of furry art, you know, cartoons and stuff. Oh, okay. If you try to make it into, like, this big, super secretive deal, people will think you're hiding something. And you're just like, nah, I totally like, you know Zootopia, right? It's that. Oh, okay. Whatever. Like, we're actually really lucky in that furries have much more widely accepted than they were, like, even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, people don't give a shit. There's furry characters present in media, and there's lots of fiction that uses furry characters.
We've also come a lot farther from the CSI episode.
Yeah, which, you know, what's nice is that a lot of folks have never seen that show anymore. Like, that was 2004 or 2003.
It wasn't that far from when we started doing Fiesta.
Yeah.
Or even when we started doing the show. But it's now fallen enough into...
It's been 14 years.
Yeah. So, when you go to tell someone a furry, what exactly are you saying when you when you say that. Are you saying that you're a wolf in human form? Are you saying that you just like furry stuff? Do you have furry friends?
Just, you know, don't be like, you know, I really like jacking it to Crystal. Don't do that.
I mean,
even if you do.
Like, if you go to anime cons, do you walk up to somebody and say, I'm a weeaboo or an otaku? Do you, if you're a fan of, I don't know.
You know, are you a brony?
You know, do you walk up to people and say, I'm a brown coat because I love Firefly? Which I guess is not as, you know.
Not as prevalent anymore, but,
yeah, or, you know. Whatever, pick your fandom other than furry and think about, if you were into X, do you feel the need to walk up and declare to somebody that you are into X like it's a flag you have to wave? Or is it just an interest that's part of you?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to say, when you tell someone you're a furry, what exactly are you trying to say? And if you don't want to use the word furry, you know, you can just kind of make it a thing that you do. Like, you got furry artwork up on the walls. Okay. Did you collect some furry artwork? Okay. Are you into certain characters, like Zootopia?
God. If you go into my apartment, my interests are fairly blatant. It's like, okay, here's the anime figurine shelf that has pony shit on it. Here's a couple shadow boxes and some posters. And there's a print that from Idis that's the Eevees doing the see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. And in the kitchen, there's a cute pic of a bat that it's Generosity. It's the cute little fruit bat handing a mango to the greedy bat that dropped them all. I'm trying to remember the artist's name. She's one of the Pirate Row folks.
Dark Natasha?
Could be Dark Natasha. But anyways, and then like you go into my office and there's like a couple con posters on there and various plushes, including like, yeah, so it's just like, oh, you know, my stuff, if you go to my apartment, is kind of worn on my sleeve. And I even have stuff on my car. I've got a Judy sticker on my rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to take my Rarity 3 diamonds off the back of my car soon. It's all peeling.
Yeah.
It sucks.
But I've got, like, WoW stickers on the back of my car, but, you know, it's not... Yeah, I've got, like, some furry artwork. The only time I've really had to explain what a furry was in recent history was I had some WoW friends that were coming to my big cookie-geddon party, and 99% of my friends are fucking furries.
Yeah.
And when one of our friends drags out his fursuit to make my dog bark, you know, it's like, why is he wearing a costume? Because he can. That's the short story. So it's kind of, you know, it's like, why are you telling them and what exactly are you trying to say, and kind of find a way to do it without necessarily maybe declaring what you are. That's usually what I do.
We both tried to draw at the same time there. It's like, this isn't working. So basically, you know, consider why you want to be like, this is who I am. But the,
Rocky Mountain, there's a lot of aspects to that. There was, of course, the furry raiders bullshit, which is I'm sure you know what they are. They're alt-right. They say that they're not Nazis, but they've got some, like some of the leaders are very, have shown white supremacist, you know, bullshit that goes on with it. And so they're all kind of centralized around that area. So there are some members that were on staff. Some of the higher ups were on staff. And then there's some threats that made, and they said that they had to close it down because of rising costs due to security because of it. There's also rumblings about there's back taxes that I've never seen completely.
If you go to Dogpatch Press, you can find a bunch of stuff on it that covers it fairly well.
I mean, there's a lot of rumors going around. I don't know 100% all of it, and I'm not part of their board to say, but I can just tell you what all the rumor mongers say. It's basically bad press stirred up by being associated with the Raiders, plus taxes, plus PR issues, plus some bad behaviors by some of their upper echelons of their board. All in all, just bad shit.
Yeah, it was a lot of combinations. of bad shit. And the biggest little furcon needs to get their shit together, because there's a picture of Foxler wearing his fucking armband. That motherfucker's gonna... Hey, if someone wants to shoot some... No, I'm not gonna say it, but, you know, there's this phrase, something something a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Don't do it. Please not at a furry con. We have enough bad shit going on right now.
Give him a swirly.
So, yeah, motherfucker. I don't even know at this point entirely everything that killed it, but it was just a lot of bad press. But there's a ton of other fucking furry cons. Plus, I hear a rumble of there's a couple of them trying to start up to replace Rocky Mountain. So, we'll see what happens there. But right now, it seems like there's a new FurCon popping up every couple weeks. We got a new one starting here in Texas. Sounds like they're getting going really well. There's... Oh, Christ. Did you see the sign for BLFC?
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah, apparently the Reno Hotel paid for a big-ass sign at the Reno Airport for it. On one of the big neon billboards. I'm like, holy shit, that looks really nice. But they're growing by leaps and bounds. But again, people like us at Fiesta, they're being held in a casino. We can't compete with that. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff locally that you can do to entertain that the con doesn't have to pay for. So they have a huge buffer just by being their location, and good on them, because that was an excellent choice for a place to hold it. You have so much entertainment right in the area without the con having to out-of-pocket it, which is cool. Yeah, it was a good idea, and I'm glad it's doing as well as it is, because there's nothing else like it. It actually is the biggest little fur con.
Yeah. But, yeah. Fucking BLFC. Get your shit together. Kick these motherfuckers to the curb. Show them they're not welcome.
So, fun thing is that I was... Fiesta's doing a new hotel this year. I was part of the hotel negotiation, so I went and I toured the property, all this other stuff. So I had already seen the new venue when we were even looking at it. Saverin got to see it for the first time last week when we went in to kind of start divvying up who's going in where and start doing some of the layout planning of it, where we actually took people in the hotel, walked it. And what do you think? Do you like the, you know, it's a killer hotel.
It's got so much random shit on its walls. Oh my God. Like, it's going to be an educational experience for anybody that attends, because there is stuff about local leaders and stuff around for every little room.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
plus, your room is going to be very, very Texas. My room
is the Cotton Bowl room at this hotel, and it is a 650-square-foot upgrade from what I had at Intercontinental. And on the walls is just shitloads of random prints and memorabilia, like protected stuff that's not going to get fucked up, but like the Cotton Bowl.
It's just so much Texas history. It's just like all over the walls of the hotel. But it's huge. It's beautiful layout. I mean, just the third floor is, it's kind of like what I've seen pictures of the Atlanta, where you can kind of go into the middle food court-ish area and look up, and you can just see all the way up to like the 15th floor. It's just this giant open atrium. It is a pretty hotel. It really is. I am super looking forward to working with it and setting up and seeing Fiesta go in there, because holy crap, it's a gorgeous place. I'm thrilled to death with going into this place for next year. I think everybody's going to love it. It is amazing. And, you know, for the locals, getting in and out of it is kind of annoying because it's downtown and, you know... But for non-locals, you can get to and from the airport via the train, you don't, and even if you're local, you can get in and out via the public transit in and out, so you don't have to deal with parking. Never mind that sweet fucking deal that we got for parking down there, $5 a day to park in downtown fucking Dallas, which
wow,
is...
Wow, that's really fucking good.
Yeah, but it's not just $5 and then you have to pay in and out. No, it's $5, and you can park all day, leave, come back, go do something, move your car around, and you can still pay $5 a day. Downtown Dallas, that is usually 15 to 20, and if you leave the lot, you're paying again to come back. So, holy shit, just, we got some real steals for this place, and the staff has been friendly. They've been really upbeat in helping us do a lot of stuff. So this new venue, I am so, so excited about. We walked in when we were doing the first initial, are we going to go here? Was just like, wow, wow. The other thing about it is their rooms. You know, a lot of the, you go to a hotel and it's a double room and it's not two queen beds. It's like maybe two fulls and two people on it, especially if you happen to be a larger person, is a little bit of a squish.
Yeah.
No, these are two full queen beds.
Nice.
Where, and I laid on them just as two. You know, are these crappy beds? Because I like the Intercontinental, but their beds kind of sucked. These actually have some really comfy beds. So, just wow. You know, and that's banging Fiesta's drum, but it's our baby. And, you know, we have a new toy to play with, and it's a really pretty toy.
It's going to be really cool because it's going to give us so much fucking room. Holy shit.
Yeah, well, the room I'm putting the den in is gigantic.
Like, we will be using, like, a third of that space for the vendor hall, and it gives us so much room to grow. Like, if we could totally hit Anthrocon size in that space. No problem.
And, like, the Intercontinental had, like, 460-odd rooms, and we didn't get all of them because they had a chunk that they set aside for, like, flight crews and business travelers who come through regularly. So we probably got about 425, 435 of the available rooms. And the reunion has about 1,000 rooms. And we start out with about 800 rooms the first year. And then we go up to having the everything the following years. So we could put all of our current Intercontinental people there, plus all of our overflow, plus have room. So all of the space issues that we'd had in prior years, wow. It's, yeah. Holy crap. So I am really looking forward to working with them for the next couple of years. It's, I can't put into words how much I love this venue. So I think my den is going to be killer. I can't wait to see everybody else set up on all their spaces. Can't wait to see all the pictures that people take on the third floor, that big star down in the middle. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time, and I look forward to using my space and having more stuff. Like, I'm going to start talking to some outside people to see about enhancing the Vidya Game room, because that room is, like, we're already at the limits of my personal collection of shit. And so it's like, okay, well, we're going to see if we can't get some outside help in providing consoles and stuff for this year. But that is a ways off. But it is something that I'm going to have to get working on now. And hey, what do you know? Akon's is in 2 weeks. Or not quite, a little more than a week. And I can talk to those dudes and get their cards and find out information.
What dudes?
The people that run their game room. Oh. The people that run the Anime Fest game room. And find some... Like, there are groups that like run shops, like have game shops that also do setups at conventions that I can talk to.
Maybe get them to do some advertising and, hey, X place provided by...
Yeah, stuff like that. But, again, that's stuff that needs to be done. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, the Fiesta Hotel is super exciting, and the fact that parking is not going to be awful is super good, too. And the parking lot is so fucking huge, my god. And none of this parking in the dirt bullshit.
I'll admit, I have not done parking there yet, because both times I've gone down there, because I did not want to play with the parking lot, I just valeted. Because, well...
Might as well.
But valet is not cheap, so...
Yeah, valet is not $5 a day.
It really, really isn't. Well, I valeted for $20, so I could have paid for all of my weekends with one valet. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting. And not in the worrisome interesting, just in the wow. I got to get in there and start figuring out how many tables and such I can set up and, like, layouts and such. But it should be fun. And some of the things that we're noodling around doing with some of the extra space is really, I think it's going to be fun. So.
All right. Well, I think we should probably wrap this up because
it's late.
It's a lot later than I thought we would be wrapping this up. But it's been pleasant. It's been nice to just sit around, smoke the hookah, pet the dogs, stuff like that. And, you know, now that you have kind of an indoor setup where we can hookah, like, this is very comfy and it's in a non-carpeted room and all this other stuff. Maybe we could do some more recording here if we can nail down the recording setup. So, anyways,
Do you want to do Patreon and all that stuff?
Yep.
Because we're fucking professionals like
yeah,
that?
We're going to run down the shit. You can find me on... Find Knotcast on Twitter, at Knotcast. You can find us on FA, at Knotcast. You can find us on Patreon, at Knotcast. If you like the show and want to see... want to just toss a few bucks our way, that'd be really cool of you, and we'd greatly appreciate it. We will pull up and do our patron thanks here next week, because I forgot to do that, and it's late as it is. But thank you guys for everybody supporting, and we'll list you all thank you next week. You can find me on Twitter at Severn Drake. You can find me on YouTube. Justafox.com translates to that. Find me on Twitch occasionally. I will get back into that. Because it turns out, you know what? Really helps with feeling down and being depressed going back to the gym. So that's really helped lately.
I've heard that before. People who have had depression issues getting out and getting working, it can really help with
it
depression.
It certainly has helped me. I've been able to go back. Not having a functioning car and being basically trapped within about 10 miles of your apartment because you don't think your vehicle's that reliable and you don't want to get stuck, that'll wear you down. But being able to have a functioning car, even if it's damaged, and being able to go to the gym and work out really helps. What do you know? So, there's that. Shiva?
I can be found on Twitter as Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A. I'm the same on Telegram. That's going to be the two primary places you'll see me. You'll find me on FA as Shiva Cat, though I haven't been posting much lately. I haven't been doing art or much lately that's worth putting up there.
I posted a new commission. It's porn.
I tend to put my commissions on a different account because I create content. I try to put my commissions on one account and my original content on another account just to try and keep... I don't want people thinking I'm claiming that I did this art when I didn't.
I post them and, like, this is a commission from blah. And then, especially when I get art from people that don't have FA accounts.
Yeah, I can see that. But... I do occasionally draw and post something up, so...
Yeah,
it's just... I find it easier just to keep two streams. And that's primarily where you're going to find me. Other than that, you'll find me at Fiesta, because, well, I live there. So.
All right. On that note, good night.
And big balls.
And vor the rich.